I didn't think you'd be online quite so quickly.
Yeah, nor did I.
I thought I had a couple of minutes.
The Dell surprised me on how well it dealt with logging in today. I was like looking at the CPU though, it was like 100%. I loaded up Discord and it was like doing some updates and I was like, oh no, don't.
I was going to say 100% sound like updates.
100% CPU usage for updates and installing updates. But where is it now? It is... It's gone down to 88, 86, 84. So it's using a lot of usage, but it's hanging in there. It's still going, the Dell.
Is that with Audacity recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know.
That's not
for
too bad.
Its time, it's a beefy processor. And I think there's two processors in that computer, isn't there?
Yes.
It's dual processor. Is it dual core or quad core?
What's a zip?
It's a Xeon.
Manager.
Yeah, but it's an old Xeon, so it could be dual core with hyperthreading, or maybe it's two quad cores. If you go task manager and then performance, it'll tell you how many CPUs and then how many cores and how many threads.
Oh, it's going to go to... I've got it here, yeah. Two cores and two logical threads for each. So that's four core with four logical threads then.
And what is it, 2.8 gig?
3 gigahertz.
Oh, 3 gig.
3 gig.
Yeah, quite fast.
I still haven't fixed that RAM issue, though.
Yeah, I think that's... have you got, like, 8 gig on one and 4 gig on the other or something like that?
No, I got a mixture. There's, like, so there's four sticks, but one's, like, 2 gig, one's 4 gig, and then... Oh, no, hold on. That makes sense. Like, it's 6 gig in...
If you go to the RAM, it tells you.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm not looking at that page.
It'll tell you. I've got
3 of 8, but they're in the wrong order.
3 of 8
slots used.
And how much have you got? 8 gigabyte?
No, so in total, it should be 6, but it's only like 4.4 gig. Use 7 straight. Hold on, let me look on the other. Okay, install physical RAM memory 5 gig. Yeah, but if it
okay, so it's like you got two gigabyte sticks and one gigabyte.
It's
stick.
All out of order, so it can't, because we had the memory I was asking you.
Because some of it, the way it works is it's per CPU, so each slot on the motherboard, like slot 1, 2, 3, and 4 is for CPU 1, and then 5, 6, 7, 8 is for the other CPU.
Right.
And if you have no RAM in 5, 6, 7, 8, then one of your CPUs is basically unusable because there's no RAM in it. And I don't think you'd be able to boot it up. I think you probably got 4 gigabytes for one CPU and then 1 gigabyte on the other or something silly like that. But
I get an error and I just say F1, continue. To be honest, I'm at this point where I'm like, it's working. It does what I need it to do. I can't be honest, because it's such a heavy thing to, like, you know, it's so heavy. Yeah.
Move around. You can get a little Dell 3040 small form factor PC for, like, 50 quid, and that would actually probably be quicker.
Maybe I'll look at something like that in the future.
You get them dirt cheap on Amazon.
I can use the 980.
I don't think that Xeon will run the 980, though. Yeah, I don't think you can provide power for it.
No,
I wouldn't put the PC on.
I'm saying I would just use the 980 computer. Anyway, let's not talk about.
Yeah, no. I'm ready now. I'm ready.
So, Josh, last week we were discussing a little bit regarding the Fallout TV show. And because we discussed it a little bit, I decided for some reason to install Fallout 3 and start playing that again.
Oh, yeah?
And
how long has it been since you last played it?
To be honest, a couple of years.
Okay, so it's not too long.
No. It's one of those games I kind of play every few years. I think it's because I'm playing it on the Steam Deck as well. I played it on a computer before. I played it on the PS3 back in the day, and it was terrible. But the computer, like, it's a little bit better, but yeah, still the frame rate kind of just, it's a juttery mess sometimes. But that's what it is. But I wanted to discuss, before the Fallout TV show comes out, I wanted to go through the what we expect it to fail and where do we expect to succeed in a way. Because I've not seen any trailers. All I've seen is little snippets of the teaser when it first came out. And I've seen like pictures of the ghoul, the person playing a ghoul, and what they look like, because it was all over Reddit. So my first thought is that, well, let me go off. So my first thought of the first episode in the series should have the introduction of the famous words, war never changes. And they should have like an introduction part into the actual show itself and explain what is going on and what has happened. What would be better is that maybe they could, like they did in Fallout 4, where they showed the pre-nuclear explosions, nuclear bombs, atom bombs going off, and that showed people actually living their lives for, like, maybe they have, like, an episode before the bombs actually go off of, like, them go into the shelter, or if it's not in, like, that, like, because in Fallout 3, they were literally just, you're literally born in the vault, pretty much. And at least have, like, I would say have a good few number of episodes, especially if we're going to start off in the vault itself and not do, like, a pre, how this is how it all started. And this is, like, them going into the vault, and because it kind of doesn't make sense, because if they go, I don't think they're going to do that, because if they go into the vault, there's no way, because the wasteland doesn't become like that until like a good few years after the fact, say like at least 50 years after the explosions. So I think they're going to start in the vault. And my biggest worry is that we're going to start in the vault, and the first episode, or the end of the first episode, our main character is going to be outside of the vault and into the wasteland.
Yeah, probably.
Which is going to be the wrong decision, I think.
Why?
Because I think they should try and expand what they did with Fallout 3, where...
Really?
Yeah. I think they...
I'm on board with you about showing more pre-war stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about an entire episode. I think an entire episode would be too boring. We don't have...
Look, I'm thinking...
And the only reason I say that it would be too boring is, given the usual timelines between pre- and post-Fallout timelines, we're not going to be following the same character unless they do a Fallout 4 thing again. You don't want us following a person who's only going to be there for, like, 40 minutes and then they die because the bombs come down, and then we follow someone else 100 years later in the TV show. But something like... what they did do in Fallout 4, where there was a little bit of pre, would be good. You know, it could be the 2 minutes before the title card, because yes, you've got people who've never seen or played Fallout coming in to this brand new universe. They do need to know, they will need a little bit more background than your average PC gamer would get. But Fallout 3 is a very weird start to a game. And in some ways, and I know we're talking about PC game versus TV show, but it doesn't half drag on. I've been thinking about playing Fallout 3 again, and the start of Fallout 3 puts me off replaying it more than other aspects of Fallout 3. And I know some people really like that part. They like the fact that it's a very different opening to other games or whatever. But for me, I've done it three times. I've started Fallout 3 three times now, and I just don't like that way that they've started the Fallout world.
I couldn't disagree anymore. I think,
but it's just so boring.
It's not, though, because...
But bear in mind, I haven't played Fallout 3 to completion, so I don't know what the final story is. I know there's... I actually learned recently that the Lone Wanderer and her dad weren't original vault dwellers. She wasn't born in the vault. She was born outside the vault, and then they kind of something happened, and they kind of joined the vault. Yeah, there's something else going on there, but I didn't learn that through the game. I learned that through a YouTube lore sort of video sort of thing.
Yeah, so when I say born in the vault, but they had the baby in the vault. Well, they were. So that you were born outside the vault, but you grew up in the vault.
Yes, yeah. You play as the child.
They don't really explain very well how that actually occurred, because they would normally not let any outsiders into the vault.
Yeah.
Once the vault is shut, that's it. The people inside...
It's supposed to be sealed.
Yeah. So that kind of didn't make sense in the game. It's like, oh, wait a minute, you're telling us that you were based here, and then when my character was born... That's when you decided to move into a vault. That doesn't make any sense.
But what makes that so great, and what makes that suitable to be in a TV show?
Well, it sounds like you haven't, because you said you haven't played it all the way through. There is a mission where you actually go back to that vault. So the decisions that you kind of make at the start of the game
affect what you can do.
Well, yeah. What happens in the vault afterwards? Like, there's two big decisions. Well, three big decisions. The first one is there's that really guy who's like the tunnel snakes.
Yeah, Butch.
Butch, he's like the tunnel snakes, and he's like, please save my mom. So what you do there kind of affects how he ends up later on when you come back. There's the security guard that you're kind of friendly with, and you can make a choice of killing him or keeping him alive. So if you keep him alive, he's kind of like backs you up and your friend, I think, when you come back. And then you've got the actual...
It's a girl.
The girl and his dad, the... what are they called? The...
Overseer?
The overseer, sorry. Yeah, the overseer. So if you... I think you get... You have a choice. Like, you can kill the overseer. And then she's kind of mad at you. But then when you come back...
Yeah.
I think when you come back, she kind of like... She's like, ah, oh, you know, she kind of not... She's less mad at you, but she's still like, oh, you did kill my dad. But then if you don't kill her dad, she's like, ah, oh, we need to get out of here. The vault has completely gone to hell. Security guards are like locking us down. We can't go anywhere. We can't do this. So you try and get her to escape out of the vault. So what I was thinking is, yeah, you could establish a few characters, and like you could do like the tunnel snakes. You could make it like a gang or something. You could... And then you could expand upon it like later on in the series, or maybe in another season, hopefully. Like, just get a few characters where you can introduce them and make them at least a little bit memorable. And then it'll be like, okay, hold off on these characters. Then we're going to go off and do another thing. But don't forget that these characters do exist. And that does happen in other TV shows where they introduce characters, but then they're like, okay, we're going to go off now into... So yeah, I would personally enjoy a little bit of story. I don't want it just being, oh, that person was in the vault. They left the vault. And that's like the first episode. They left the vault and such got killed. And that's it. And then you don't go back there again. And there's not really a story. Just like, oh yeah, that person just left the vault.
It's all going to come down to why she leaves the vault.
Yes.
Like, what is the purpose? So in previous games, there's been... a defined purpose for them leaving the vault. In Fallout 1, they're going out for the water chip.
Yep.
I don't know what it is in Fallout 2. Fallout 3 is because something happened. What was the actual cause? I remember fighting off a load of rad roaches, and there's something going on.
Well, no, so basically in Fallout 3, your dad leaves, and then all hell breaks loose because...
Yeah, he runs... Yes, he kind of finds a way to escape, and then you're trying to, like... escape after him, sort of. And then Fallout 4, obviously, there's the whole kidnapping and murder. So you're kind of going out after, you know, in some kind of vengeance.
Trying to find your son.
Yeah, and there's got to be a reason why the main character is leaving the vault. And I will say, they do show it in the trailer, just before anyone kind of comes in with comments. But I'm not, because Tommy's not seen the trailer, I'm not going to say...
Ah, so that's disappointing.
There's got to be a reason why she's going to leave the vault. But that's got to be a good reason, or it's got to be a strong reason, not a good reason, but it's got to be a strong reason leaving and doing something, or whether she can come back or whether she would not be allowed to come back. Is she, you know, is she going out with permission or is she not going out with permission? I don't. Have you played Horizon Zero Dawn?
The first game.
Yes.
Only a few missions, unfortunately.
Okay. So at yeah, no, that's fine. So at the beginning of the game,
she finds that ancient tech.
Well. Yeah, yeah. So at the beginning of the game, Aloy is part of a tribe, and this tribe is very insular, and they don't let people leave their tribal area. And if you leave without permission, you're exiled, but you can be given special dispensation to leave and come and go and everything like that. And we don't know this girl in Fallout TV series. Is she leaving for positive reasons, or is she leaving because she's been thrown out or something? You know, it's not clear what's going on. So
yeah, that kind of sucks to me. I was hoping for, because if they're showing that in the trailer, like that's the big thing, and it's like
they're not showing it. Well, I mean, they are hinting at something.
Well, they're showing the character that is in the waste. I know that for a fact because I've seen like a screenshot.
Well, you know she leaves. That's like, yeah, literally the whole point. Every Fallout story is a vault dweller leaving the vault.
I just hope it's a few episodes in, at the very least, not the first episode, because I'd be disappointed.
There is space that it could be, because it seems to be that we're going to be following three characters.
Uh-huh. So it might be you're that... You're ruining it even more for me.
Okay. No, don't but say anymore. But you already know two of them. You do.
Oh, the ghoul.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't impressed about that either. So, yeah, it seems like she's
But what I mean is, so in that sense, and I don't know this, what it could be is that we follow these other two characters before, in episode one, before she leaves the vault, at the end of episode one or at the end of episode three.
Okay.
I don't know how many episodes there are. So if it's only a miniseries, 10 episodes long, she's got to leave quite soon, because otherwise there's not going to be much time to do a story arc. Do you want me to go look, well, see how many episodes there are?
It's up to you. Yeah, I don't really.
I would expect it to be around 10. I think it'd be a mini series.
I'm gonna say 12.
Yeah. As in, like, somewhere between 8 and 12. So we're not talking Chernobyl's 5 or 6 episodes, but we're not talking 22 episodes. So I think we're looking at anywhere between 8 and 12 episodes.
I hope the first thing that Ghoul says is, what are you looking at, smooth skin? Stuff like that. Like, they have... It would be nice if they do, like, have, like, some sort of links to the games, in a way. Like,
yeah,
maybe have, like, the Galaxy News Radio in the background. It's like, hey, this is Galaxy News Radio. Like, you're one and all. And then you have the...
Well, you won't have Galaxy News Radio, because that's in... That's in Washington. Do you know where the TV series is?
No, I don't know too much. No, don't, please don't say.
I won't say, but obviously it's a different location. It is a new location.
Ah, okay. That's the thing. They got the Brotherhood of Steel that they could delve into. They got the Enclave.
It depends when.
Well, I think the Brotherhood
timeline it is.
Well, I think the Brotherhood of Steel start quite early on, because their mission is to gather information.
Yeah.
And gather any information, anything like that's pre-war books, so they can use that information and use it for like technology and stuff. And then you've got the Enclave, just like this corporate government.
I was going to say, aren't they just the old government or something?
Then that's the thing. They claim that they're the old government, but who knows what they are. Right. There's some sort of, like, the guy on the radio is like, I'm your president, John Henry, and I have to speak to you today because I want to discuss my presidency and to let you know that I am your president. And you're like, well, wait a minute, who made you president? Like, how does that work? And he's like, well, be rest assured that once everything is... been restored, then we will have a fair election. And like, I can't see that happening. It just seems a bit bullshit to me, but they need stuff like that. That would be cool. It'll be cool if it sounds like, yeah, it's set in a different place, but they could have like the same kind of missions. They could just take some of the good missions out of the games and reuse them, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I guess it's obviously it's not, we think about Fallout in terms of go here, do a quest, return the quest, get the reward. But this is just going to be a series of stories and stuff. We might see them travel to places, speak to people, get asked to do things. But I feel like because it's a TV show and it is designed for the masses, you're not going to say, oh, you know, please go rescue this settlement and build
why not
a farm.
Why not build a farm? But you could have the more interesting ones, like you could have like I was just doing a mission now where they have like Paradise Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bunch of slavers who capture people, and you got a choice of helping the slaves escape or keep them there and become a slaver yourself. Yeah. Stuff like that, like interesting, like moral decisions that the character would have to think about. It's like, oh,
but the thing is, the strength in that is the fact that you get to choose how to behave, whether you're going to be a good guy or a bad guy. And when it's a TV show, the audience doesn't get to make that choice. They're just presented with whatever the character does as written into the show.
That's why I say that there needs to be a few episodes before exiting the vault, so then you get a good grasp of who this character is. Is this guy an asshole? Is he a good person?
I don't think you need to trap him in the vault to learn that. You can learn that when they're in the vault and as they're leaving the vault and how they interact with people outside the vault, because that's going to be...
Well, it depends, because if they exit the vault and then they're in a situation where they haven't got much supplies, you're not going to be a dickhead to someone who's like got a gun. Because if you go into the waste, there's going to be people that have got guns and they're going
to... I love how you were talking about you're not going to be a dickhead, and I was just thinking about just being kind to people. You know, it's like you and I have come against this with different viewpoints, and it's just like the one thing about the Fallout games that I find quite funny, and Horizon is similar, is the fact that in both of these games you are playing a character who is quite isolated in a sense, and yet when you are thrust upon the world, the wider world, you can be a very kind person. Look, you go to people, they're having an issue, you offer to help and assist them. And that's something that happens in the games. And I know in like Bethesda games, you can often, for some particular missions, you can decline payment. You can, you know, when they give you a reward, you can say, no, don't give me a reward, keep the money for yourself. Or there's even some where I think you can actually give them money. So it's one of those things. It's like when she leaves the vault and she meets people, not people who she can get help from, but people that she could help, how will she respond in that sense? Like, will she give kindness even if she doesn't have much resource or knowledge or whatever of her own?
Well, I think the way they play it, because it's a TV series, is that you go and rescue such and such? And if you do see this other person, can you rescue this person as well? And if you do this, then I'll let you know, blah, 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 what you want to know, or I'll give you what you want.
The way I see it, it's going to be like The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I see that as well.
In The Mandalorian, you could see how a lot of those episodes would be quests and jobs that you would do within a video game. But they stem from conversations in a bar or situations, circumstance that's happened at the end of the previous episode. They're not specific people with quest markers above their head, but they are jobs that need to be done for the character to progress in their life, essentially. Yeah, it's just translating from the Fallout of the video game and the Bethesda RPG quests to something that would actually make half-decent TV, bearing in mind that there's going to be probably a lot of people watching this who have literally never heard of Bethesda games, Fallout, Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, any of it. It's not about it's not necessarily about pandering to a non-gaming market, but they do have to make it accessible.
My partner, she likes kind of like the zombie Walking Dead kind of genre.
So she might be slightly interested in it then.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, she never played The Last of Us. but she enjoyed the TV show because it involved that kind of genre, and that kind of they did enough in which it fitted to a TV series. Yeah, you can draw in people that have never played games if you hit the right notes of what kind of genre you're aiming for. So this is going to be people that kind of like watching like the films like The Road, Children of Men, I think it's called, like post-apocalyptic kind of films. The Book of Eli, I think, is one as well. That's another post-apocalyptic film. Those kind of people that are never played the games, but they kind of watched that kind of genre. Mad Max is definitely a good example. The Mad Max series of films.
I think it's going to be wider than that.
Yes, I do believe so as well.
Because as people are seeing the trailer, they will see that it is a lot lighter than those types of shows.
It's not. I hope not.
It will be because it's a TV show.
Well, it shouldn't be. I'm hoping it is a bit like Mad Max, where they got like the piked up armor and they got like spiky hair and all
what
this
I'm
craziness.
Saying is in Fallout 3, the TV show, the canonical answer to will you save Megaton or will you blow up the nuclear bomb, the TV show won't even have the option to blow up the bomb. The episode will be, oh dear, we need to save Megaton from this asshole who wants to blow it up because it's blocking his view from his hotel room. Do you see what I mean? It's like, in the game, you get the option to be an absolute asshole or save the town. And the game doesn't shy away from the fact that you can do either. But the TV show, I think, because they're trying to hit more on the masses than the true hardcore dedicated fans, as much as I think they're trying to be, I do think they're trying to be true to the story, true to the world and everything, but I do think that they are going to be more on the happier side, not the happier side, but they're going to be more on
morally correct,
morally good than morally bad. So in that scenario, there won't even be a single thought about not saving Megaton. It's just going to be a case of how do we stop this from happening? Let's get a ragtag team together to sort this out, sort of thing.
It's weird as well, because when I first played the game, I was like, yeah, oh, of course, yeah, let's blow it up. It's going to be great. But when I just recently played that mission, and I was like, no, I need to save the town. And when you get older, you just, for some reason, you become more like, oh yeah, no, you don't.
Empathy.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't really want to do that. It's so strange.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I was like, yeah, blow it up, kill everyone. Oh, it's gonna be glorious. But now it's just like, no, I don't want to kill these people. I like these people. Why would I want to do something like that? That's wicked. Like, but yeah. I think you're right, because it's going to be people like me now who be like, oh, that's not right. You can't do that. You can't blow up a whole town just for the sake of having a good laugh and a good show. But it would be nice if they did do that and be like, shock you. And you're like, oh.
There might be characters that will do that in the TV show, but they won't be the main character.
Yeah, which would be disappointing.
It's not that kind of TV show. You need a spin-off. So I've been looking at Torchwood earlier today because one of the actors in Beetlejuice, the new Beetlejuice, is one of the actors from Torchwood. And Torchwood did all the stuff that Doctor Who couldn't do, because Doctor Who is a family TV show. Yes, it's scary and people hide it behind the sofa, but it was family friendly. Whereas Torchwood, it had all the horrible monsters, it had sex, it had cheating, it had, not murder, but it had like proper like killing and stuff like that. And the Fallout TV show is Doctor Who, and you're going to need a spin-off TV show where you could have a slightly, you know, an anti-antagonist or something, you know, where it's the character you're following isn't a good guy, but you kind of still root for him a little bit. Or her.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So someone who's like, he's just going to be like, you need someone like a Clint Eastwood. maybe. Like, he would do the right thing, but he would just do it in his own way, and he just, like,
you see, yeah, that's who okay, I that. That's who I think that Ghoul character is going to be. I think he's going to be that character where he's not going to be bad, but he's not going to follow all of the rules to get there. It's a character we've seen 100 times in different TV shows and video games, but it's like, you don't dislike him, but he's just not 100% morally good.
I hope he has the voice. I hope it's just not like our voices. I hope it's like, hello, you know, like that. Hello, smooth skin. How are you doing today?
I believe it might be a little bit like, I don't know if he speaks in the trailer, but I think I heard something about it. And he's not, it's obviously down to whatever the actor can do. And it might be a little bit smoother than you would perhaps like, but they are kind of embracing that whole thing. I mean, the guy's got no nose in the main TV series. You know, it's like, as far as family friendly goes, he's got a hole in his face. So they are embracing it to some extent. If I haven't heard his voice, in my head, his voice is going to be like super gruff.
I hope they do.
It might be more like the Argonians than the, you know, in Skyrim, where it's a little bit smoother. Just to kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not, they're going a little bit down that way to, because that's appropriate, but they don't want to scare away all of the non-Fallout people. So they're kind of, it's a balance they're trying to get to, isn't it, probably?
I hope they keep, like, the radiation and the chems, like taking drugs, like taking psycho to make you, like, some sort of beast of a person that can take someone out. I hope they keep all of that. They probably won't. But it would be nice if...
No comment.
Like, yeah, but have you seen, like, the latest Batman film with... basically, like...
With the vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who played Edward Cullen, or whatever his name is. Begins with R.
And he basically... Robert Pattinson,
that's the one.
Yeah, it's a good film. But anyway, he basically grabs something out of his pocket, because I think he's struggling... fighting someone, he grabs something in his pocket and injects himself with it, and then he just turns and he's like, ah! That's all they need to do, something like that. Or just, she gets something and just sticks it in her leg or something, and then she's like, and then she's, because in like Fallout 4 they do that, and he does like a war cry, if I remember correctly. He's like, ah!
What? Who does?
If you play like a, in Fallout 4, if you play like a male.
Oh, I see, I always play female characters in Bethesda games, because, you know, I... Oh, okay. Like to look at that booty. It's first person game. Well, he doesn't do anything.
I think he does like he says like, come on, ah, like something like that. She needs to do something like that. Like, stick something in your leg. Like, say she needs to be like struggling, and she's
have
like,
that moment of, should I do this or should I not do this? And then she does it, and she's like, oh, this is amazing. I'm addicted to chems.
Well, she's like pinned out, and they're shooting at her. And maybe inject something into her leg and say, like, she starts running towards him with a knife or something. A combat crazy knife. Lady. And then she gets, like, she gets a bullet in the chest or something, but she keeps going because she's just got the psycho stuff inside her. And she ends up, like, knifing all of them. Stuff like that would be great. Other things, let's just briefly go through the things that I think they definitely should put in there that are in the games. I definitely think... You mentioned vampires. There's a vampire mission in Fallout 3 where you go and find these people who are on this like highway, and they got like a little town set up, and this old man's like keeping guard, and he's like, who the hell are you? And he's like, oh, I'm just a stranger, but I'm a good guy. And he's like, well, we've been having trouble, you know, these people keep coming along and they're attacking us.
Oh, I've done that mission.
And it turns out the people that have been attacking them are actually vampires. Stuff like that, like crazy stuff. Another one, I suppose they should put in somehow is the one that you need to find an android. So you have to like try and locate, because this guy wants this android to bring it back to the Citadel or something. Some like the main wasteland operation base or something. But where what are they called, the Siths?
What, Brotherhood? Oh, the Synths.
The Simps people are located.
Synths, not Simps.
Synths. Yeah, sorry.
They're completely synths. Different.
It'd be nice if, like, you have to go and try and locate the Android and try and bring it back to its proper owner, stuff like that. Oh, there's the one where you go into that house and there's like this these people who are just staring at you, and you're like, what's going on? Why are you staring at me? And then you're like, they're like, you talk to them like, oh, don't go downstairs. You're like, why can't, what's downstairs? And then you go downstairs and then they start attacking you because there's blood everywhere. And it turns out that they're actually cannibals. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Like,
I have a feeling particularly that last one won't be there.
That's a shame. They did it in, have you ever seen The Road?
Yes, but that's not the like mainstream TV. That's a film.
Still, like, they could do...
It depends on what they're trying to do for the audience as well, doesn't it?
They did it in The Last of Us, the TV show.
What, cannibalism?
Yes. Well,
it does make sense in that show, though.
It makes sense in this show. What I want to see is some slaver come around with a bunch of slaves. And
I don't know if you said... I don't know, because there's a big difference between a feral ghoul and the mushroom heads in The Last of Us. Like, ghouls are...
I meant in terms of, like...
No, I do know what you mean, but in terms of, like, it depends on how family-friendly or mature they're going with. I don't know what it's rated at. If it's a 15, then I think you might... Oh. No, I don't know what it is. I'm saying if it's a 15, I think you're going to get... you might get things like, oh, we're cannibals... If it's an 18, you might get weird cannibals and there's blood splattered all on the walls. If it's a 12, you're not going to get the cannibals at all. Like, it depends where they're going with it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's a part of me that feels like it might be a bit more happy and positive than The Last of Us. The Last of Us is a very dark TV show. Those mushroom head things, are they clovers or something? They're very scary just on their own. Ghouls and feral ghouls, like, they're not scary. There's nothing inherently scary or horror about the main fallout. Yes, there are some areas that are a bit more horror elements than others, but they are like isolated areas or...
Well, the only way you could make them scary is if the character goes down to the subways and then... Because that's where you normally find them. In the dark, and you're like, oh, shit, the character's got to somehow escape this, and they got them ghouls running towards them. And then they could do the ones where they, like, the one that glows as well and explodes, pours radiation on her or something. Some crazy stuff like that. They could have a story where she goes to the subway because she's been asked to get rid of these ghouls, and they're going to pay her for her services, so she hires a bunch.
I don't think you're going to get those sort of things in a TV show. I really don't. I really don't think you're going to get... literal missions from the game in the show. I think she's gonna leave the vault with a mission.
Nah,
she might get sidetracked from the mission, but she's not going to be paid to do a job like you would do in the games, because that's just not going to make interesting TV. I've had a look at the episode count. It's not many. They're not going to fill it with fluff like go and empty a subway. Unless the only reason they would go to empty the subway is if they need to go through the subway to get to another area to do whatever job they're doing. Like, they're not going to do it for no reason. They'll only do it if they have to.
That sucks.
It doesn't suck. Who wants to watch... If you want to do that, you just watch someone play Fallout 3.
Well, no. Take the Mandalorian. I think it was like season 2 or 3, where he would, like, just the one-off episode, someone asked him, said at the bar, said, oh, okay, there's this massive creature, I'll give you this weapon or something. Okay, yeah,
that was season 2, episode 1.
Yes,
there was a very specific reason he had to do that. I can't remember what it was, but he didn't do it because he needed it as a job. He had to do it because he had to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's your point, where she would have... There have to be a good reason for him to clear the subway. It wouldn't be just some tedious... Yeah. Fair enough. And, you know, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I suppose it's going to have, like, elements of the game, but it's going to have elements for a reason.
First and foremost, it's a story that has been then transplanted into a world that a lot of people are going to be familiar with. I don't think people are going to be angry at it. It sounds like they've taken a lot of care with this, unlike other game to TV show adaptations in the past. I mean, isn't it like it's one of the Nolan brothers that's directing it? the high-pitched, squeaky voice guy from Bethesda. He's one of the executive producers. So it should... Yeah.
Tom Howard.
Him. It should be... It should be good. It shouldn't be offensive to Fallout fans. It might be offensive to you, but you're a particular type, so, you know.
Well, I just... It's not... I'm not a massive Fallout fan because I've played a little bit of number one, I've played a little bit of number two, but yeah, I've played the Bethesda Fallout games. I haven't played the original Fallout games.
But you're just a very particular person in general. I mean, you've come into... You've come into this podcast with a very negative view of the TV series, really. You are kind of like, oh, well, I hope it's going to be good, but you're not saying it because you think it's going to be good. You're saying it because you're expecting it to be bad.
Yeah, I do, because I know for a fact, well, like we've been discussing, if it's like 6 episodes long, how many episodes was it?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on.
8.
8. Okay, that's not too bad.
So you've got 8 hours of TV to get through.
That's not too bad. I think it's just because I've watched a lot of TV shows before where they have a premise and they just blow their load very quick. And it's like, wait a minute, you're doing this very quickly. Should we not try and establish a few things?
Yes, but at the same time, I hate it when they just drag things on for no real reason. I would much rather have 8 episodes over 10.
It's a bit like, you ever watch 24?
Absolutely not. I have no interest in watching that show.
It doesn't matter.
What, 24 hours per season? Because that's... It's filmed in real time.
Hold on.
So,
well, not exactly, but you don't know if they're filming at 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock.
I don't mean it's filmed. I mean it's like every minute you're watching, the world you're watching is advancing by 1 minute. The whole premise is season one. The whole of season one is 24 1 hour episodes, and that is
exactly
at one whole day. So you're never in one episode going to go from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock that evening. You have to, as the audience, wait 6 episodes to get to the restaurant where they have a nice meal. I have no interest in watching something with like 20 episodes.
Well,
at this time,
it's 24. Because it's
no, 20, I know you're saying 24, but like 24. 22 is a common American TV series number. That's why I say 22 for like Big Bang Theory.
But what I was gonna say is, you're gonna hate the 24 episodes, but the last season of 24, they actually made it into like 12, and what they did was they sped up by like 3 hours. So that's the analogy you want to get you just want to get to what it needs to get to and not have literally 24 episodes or 22 episodes in a series where you have it kind of like, and that's what, yes, it can happen sometimes, because the reason why they took the 24 episodes in 24 for the last season and then put it down to 12 was because it was like the budget. Because what normally happens is if they have like so many episodes, about midway point, you have these really boring episodes when it's just the characters talking. And that's what happens in Walking Dead. If you watch any of the previous seasons of Walking Dead, they have the mighty special effects and scenery in the first few episodes, and then it goes into
They have a term for that. It's the bottle episode. So like the fly episode in Breaking Bad, which actually some people think is one of the best episodes ever. Friends, it's when they all go to this restaurant. That's one of their more famous bottle episodes. And it's, if you've got 10 episodes and you've got 10 million quid, if you need £2 million worth of VFX in one episode, then you need to suck £500,000 out of 3 episodes. So you end up with episodes with less VFX, and one of them's just a bottle episode where they spend the entire time on the ship or in, you know, it's
flashbacks.
Oh, I hate flashback episodes. Do you know what? Here's the thing, right? So, ironically, episode one might be the bottle episode because they're spending the whole time in the vault.
Well, this is what I expect, though. Because it's only 8 episodes, I expect each episode to be fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd rather have 8 good episodes than 10 episodes where two of them are a bit mediocre. I want to get to the end and I want there to be more. I don't want to get to the end and be like, oh yeah, that was good. I want more, whether or not they do a second series or not.
That's the thing. I don't mind the one or maybe like one episode where it's just basically there is nothing happening and it's just like people talking about where they are in the plot and
stuff. If the characters are interesting and they can
spin up
a good reason for that. Yeah, I suppose that's just like, in one sense, that's just like anyone playing a video game and just going into GTA and driving around for 3 hours and not doing anything to progress a story. But like, there can be fun in not progressing story, but your writing has to be really strong to counteract the fact that nothing else is happening.
That might be a good idea, actually. Like, in this show, like, have like halfway point, just have an episode where nothing happens. Literally, it's the character going around. Well, stuff happens, but doesn't involve the actual plot itself.
Yeah. Your side content.
She just goes around and just stuff just happens. And at the end of the episode, like, it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't carry on. It's just like, okay, this is the one-off episode. And this is where we don't have to spend too much on the budget, let's say. But like I said, like, I've watched a lot of Walking Dead. And in Walking Dead, they have like 20 odd episodes and they get to like the halfway point and it's one of the characters is like, oh no, I have to make lunch for the whole of this squad, but I haven't got any ingredients. I have to go out and find the ingredients. And then she's like, I can't find the ingredients. Oh no, what am I gonna do? And it's like half an hour of that. And then eventually it's like, oh yeah, it's a zombie TV show. Let's have a zombie try and get her while she gets the ingredients from some sort of bush. That was the story of today's episode. Her trouble trying to get lunch ready for everyone. Stuff like that. You know, you just
a real story in that universe, but is it interesting on TV?
I would think so. I hope they don't go and do the Fallout 3 ending, which is the most dumbest ending I've ever played in my life. And they had to release DLC to fix it. I know you've never played it and you probably want to play it, so I don't really want to spoil
it. You're right, I do want to play it. I struggle to play it, but I think I need to find some mods to kind of make it better.
To be honest, you could complete the game in like a few hours if you just played the main mission.
That's not how I play it. That's not how I play these games.
But the thing is, you know all the side quests already. You must know. I've just been mentioning a few of them.
Yeah, but I like playing the side quests.
Yeah.
I've got 186 hours in Fallout 4. I've got about 200 hours in Starfield. I've got...
Okay.
Where's Skyrim? I've got... Oh, no! Oh,
Skyrim.
I've got 100... So I've got 166 hours in Skyrim Special Edition. And in original... Oh my goodness, in the original Skyrim, I've got 330 hours.
How much? 300 and what? 30?
330.
My goodness. How can you play it that long, man? Yeah, but you're the kind of guy who just likes to wander around and...
Well, let's just say, I didn't know you could fast travel in Skyrim for a while.
Yeah, but I think that's...
So I literally walked from Whiterun to Riften. I know you can fast travel from place to place that you've discovered, but I didn't know you could take a stagecoach to each of the major cities. So I literally walked around my first playthrough. I literally walked around half of the map, and I think when I did all of the east side, and when I got to Solitude, that's when I discovered stagecoaches. And by then, I only had Falkeith, I think, to discover at that point.
The thing is, I've been playing Fallout 3, and I kind of try not to fast travel because it kind of just breaks the immersion of the game anyway. So sometimes it does feel like we talked about Starfield where you see a loading screen. I kind of want to avoid it. It kind of feels like a cheat where I can just pick anywhere. It's like one of the missions is like, okay, you need to escort these two people back to their little village, and you got to make sure that they don't get injured or killed, otherwise the mission is failed. Or you could just fast travel there and they automatically go with you, and then you can fast travel back to the town. So you don't have to do...
Okay, I'm just going to say, whenever I do those kind of missions in Fallout or Skyrim, I assumed you can't fast travel, so I've never fast traveled in that instance.
I have before, that's the thing, and you're just like, well, they're like, oh, thank you so much for securing us back to our town. I'm like, I didn't do anything, I just clicked a few buttons and that was that. And that's when it breaks immersion, so sometimes it is best to just travel the wasteland or travel Skyrim and actually just go and do it, and you're like, oh yeah, I actually did do that, you know, I did protect you against that mutant or this ghoul or whatever. But yeah, it can take forever, but sometimes...
And again, actually, another game, I'm going to go back to Horizon. If you fast travel everywhere, what you will notice is your health potions or your health berries, your supply of those will start to diminish because you have to travel along the road and discover the plants to restock. So if you fast travel everywhere, you suffer in gameplay. Whereas if you fast travel occasionally but still wander around enough that you're going to pick up enough health berries, then that helps you in the game. But I'm not sure that Fallout really, really necessitates not fast traveling. There's no reason not to fast travel at certain points. Like, exploration is good, but after a certain point, it's just like you can get all the ammo you need from vendors or enemies that you fight. So, I don't know. Anyway, we've gone a bit off topic there.
Well, there's two things I just want to add about the Fallout TV show, like the final thoughts. One thing I would say is what I would like them to include is what they included in Fallout New Vegas, where each little town or little faction has like a reputation. It's kind of like the status of how well they see you.
But how would they? But how does that translate to a TV show? I just don't like these are gameplay.
Yeah, I know. Let me explain. So, say our character pisses off a town or actually does well for a town. We hear in the back. We hear some sort of dialogue somewhere saying, "Oh, thank you for doing this," or "Here's some caps. Please take this for helping." You know, stuff like that. Stuff in which it incorporates...
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about the Firefly TV series, you know, they go and do stuff and they'll get praise from the town. Like, I think
exactly.
You're going to get little moments like that, but you're not going to get something on screen that says, your karma has increased.
No.
Like they do in Fallout 3 and New Vegas.
They could say, like, in Fallout New Vegas, like, say if you kill one of the Legion.
Nick Valentine hated that. Well, that's the equivalent karma system in Fallout 4. It's like your characters, like, they either love or hate the actions you do.
Yeah, so it would be nice if they...
But it's something that comes up on screen. How are you going to translate that to TV?
Well, you could... listen to me. So what you could do, right, is say, okay, say one of her main quests is to go and do something, right? And she's going to look at a map and she's going to say, okay, we need to go this way. Okay, I found this map. We need to go this way. Right, but we can't go through this way because such and such, we destroyed their such and such. Stuff like that. Like, just make, like, observations of factions and stuff.
Can't go here because they ate our guts.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
Stuff like that. All right, the last point,
yep,
which I think would be kind of cool, is, like, in Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4, you can have companions. It would be nice if some of the companions, like, The most one I could see them doing is like the dog meat, because you have something in Fallout 3 and you have like something similar in Fallout New Vegas.
I think it's not going to be an explicit companion system, but I again think about Star Wars The Mandalorian. I think you're going to get episodes where she's on her own, but then you're going to get episodes where she meets up with people and then they go off and do something together, because that feels a bit more natural in real life. Obviously the game, they put limitations that you can have one companion, maybe two if one is mission required. That's just a sort of like technical gameplay limitation and one that makes sense. But I feel like in the TV series, it should feel a lot more natural when she meets people and works with them or against people or some, or things like that.
What I would hope for is that she has a companion and she thinks she gets to know this companion, but say we find out halfway through or near the end of the series that this person is actually like the Brotherhood of Steel or Enclave or God knows what, part of some sort of faction.
Yeah, possibly. Quite possibly.
Stuff like that. You know, some sort of like, we think we know this character.
It depends how much they go into the other characters. If we follow one character throughout the entire thing, then we might not see that. But if we're following three different stories or more than three, then we might see that, I think, potentially, yes.
So I think we have to wait and see now. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back and we'll say, oh, we got this completely wrong we got this completely right. Or
should have been writing down what we said.
I've got it all in my head, to be honest. Well, we can once this is out, we can probably me could take notes on what we did say. And
so what we're doing, how are we gonna do the next few episodes then?
One by one, like, so we'll try and watch it and then give feedback.
So we're gonna watch episode one, record a bit, watch episode two, record a bit.
Exactly.
Where are you gonna be? Do you want to say?
Yeah, so I'm in the Philippines, so I'm taking a holiday.
It drops a Fallout TV show. I think it drops on Friday the 12th.
Okay.
I think it's that date.
My only worry, like I said, is I have a Amazon Prime subscription, but they are quite... it's an Amazon original. So hopefully I'll be able to watch it in the Philippines, but there might be some sort of contract preventing me, so I have to probably find some other means of watching it, but rest assured I will watch it. You may want to cut that out.
And then Tommy's obviously not going to be taking his super high-end audio mic gear. So hopefully, as long as the internet is good enough, we'll be able to use Discord to chat.
It's not the internet. I think the internet's fine. It's just the bloody heat. I'm going to be struggling, man. I'm just going to be sweating like a pig.
Yeah, well, there. I mean, no, we'll keep the episode short so we don't have to keep you sitting in any position for too long or whatever. So where are you going to do them? You're going to almost go outside or something?
I can't. The thing is, I am a bit worried, actually, Josh, because...
You're worried about the...
I'm worried about the noise outside, but I can shut the windows.
What sort of noise outside?
Man, they, even at like 1 o'clock in the morning, they're quite loud.
Or cars or what?
People, cars, dogs, stray dogs.
Don't worry, it's fine. I've heard podcasts from professional people, literally people that you've heard of, celebrities, and they sound like dog shit. So whatever, you know, as long as you make half an effort, it will be good enough. I've got some software that can do some moderate background noise removal. So if you've got a fan or air conditioning in the background, that's not a problem. If there's a dog barking in the background, heck, I had a podcast where Jasper was barking directly into the microphone once. If you want to hear that, that's the Red Dead Redemption that was released in the summer. It'll be fine. It will be fine. And like I said, you know, if we're talking about like 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes per episode, then it's, you know, it's not too long per
it's
one.
It's just the time zones as well. I have to sort out the
time zones. Really doesn't help because it means realistically we can only record like one episode a week, which is annoying because they're all dropping, all the episodes are dropping at once. So we might be able to get like one or two episodes recorded at the weekend or something, but that's going to be about it.
Well, I'm pretty much free at my night time, I suppose.
Yes, but your night time should also be asleep. I think.
Well, I'm on holiday.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Your 8 p.m. is 2 p.m. here, I think. Something like that. We'll work it out.
So when I was watching, I think like 12:45 kickoff, because I was watching a Luton game and it was like, yeah, it's something like that, like 6:30, 7 in my end. And then like at 3 o'clock, three o'clock in the afternoon, your end is like
9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock.
It's later than that, I swear.
It all depends, because British summertime, I don't know if Philippines does summertime as well, that's going to affect things because that will come in by then.
I think I had to wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to watch the football.
Yeah, I don't plan on making you wake up in the morning. There are times we can do it, so.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, yeah.
Thank you. this episode of Screen Bites. Subscribe on YouTube or follow us in your favourite podcast app.